there is a temptation to like make it simpler again and just pull back, because you know, Jesus had this problem, so he'd have to go back to parables. And but to you it's been given to know the mysteries. And I don't want to live in the parable anymore. Because the prophetic is the parable. But the mystic realm is the substance. And I want to live in a reality where I'm not satisfied with good theology. Satisfaction with good theology can make you fall short of an encounter. But we've got to let the Word of God bring us to the God of the Word. So, so I really like feel God wants us to experience wisdom in another quality and strength than we ever have before. Because, you know, I'm not satisfied to know that there is a spirit of wisdom. I want to walk with wisdom. I want to entangle with wisdom. And I want to see the fruit of wisdom like Nancy does. You know, Nancy's spoken to politicians and so many people. You know, recently I was in Namibia and I was with these property developers. And they told me about a multi-million-dollar deal they'd done that had been blocked for years. And, you know, I don't know anything about Namibia. I couldn't even remember the name of the country. I kept calling it Nivea. And then I was calling it Nineveh, which wasn't much better. I phoned Rachel, said, I'm in Nineveh. But I was in Namibia. And we're sitting in the car and they throw this on me. And do you know what I did? I ascended into one of the heavenly places. But I sat in wisdom. Because she's a place. She's a space for you to sit. And I went up into wisdom. And I didn't tell them what I was doing, but I ascended with purpose into that realm to engage with the illumination and strength that she carries. And I sat in wisdom. And all I did was rest there. And then I spoke. And I said, you've got the wrong strategy. You're trying to build houses for the poor, which sounds logical because you love the poor. But that part of town is meant to be a place that's full of the wealthiest houses in the city. And you are not following the blueprint for the city. But if you'd built wealthy houses, beautiful houses, expensive houses, it would have given you prestige and favor with the rich, which would have opened up the provision for the poor. And they went, wow. And they had worked on this for years, trying to get a solution, sitting in a realm, not praying for wisdom, sitting in wisdom. See, prayer is often faith in the inferior, where we go for what is possible apart from God. See, remember, prayer does have a purpose. I pray a lot. I'm an intercessor. I pray. But there are many times where I don't pray, I act in the kingdom realm of my Father. So for example, when the storm was happening, Jesus didn't say to them that, well done for praying to me. They woke him up. He just said, why didn't you do it? And there are many things you're praying for right now that you need to stop praying for and go into the realm where that is and function from it. Because the way that you, and don't take authority, sit in a position of responsibility, and then authority is yours. See, I'm responsible for my children, so I have authority. You can't take authority over my children, because you don't have responsibility. You can only govern what you take responsibility for. And there are heavenly realms like wisdom, so I want to talk a bit about wisdom, but before that, I'm just going to put a song on. Just to, you know, have a little commercial break and just enjoy ourselves for a second, okay? So, let's...
When I think about you, Lord. get all crazy inside when I think about you.
It's quite loud, I think. Is it too loud?
When I drink from your cup, I get so high inside. When I drink from your cup, when my lips taste your wine, ooh, I get so crazy. When my lips taste your wine, make me go, oh.
So that's the kind of music I like. And I'm looking for it. I've seen it in visions. I've seen it in dreams. What happened to that girl in Sydney? That shy teenager. You should have seen her the next day. She looked like a completely different person. The dance trance is technology. And I'm looking for it. I'm looking for David's tent. I'm looking for perichoresis, the dance of the three in one and the one in three and the many and the three and the many and the three and the many. Our logo, Company Burning Hearts, that's what's on the screen right now, is made up of three hearts. It's the Trinity, three hearts. and it's got the really, this speaks for me, to me and us, that we're a community. We're entangled in hearts. We're entangled and we overlap and we blur and blend into each other, and we are in the dance. Richard Rohr, the Franciscan priest, says this: whatever is going on in God is a flow. Oh, I love that. Let's just stop there. It's a flow. That changes everything, right? It's a flow. I will pour out my spirit, my goodness, like waters covering seas, wave patterns. I'll pour out waves. All your waves and breakers have crashed over me. Waves and energy is the frequency of life. We've got to begin to live in that frequency. And not enough of our worship right now carries that. And I think one of the biggest problems right now is the messages are changing, but the worship needs to change. Because the worship is programming us back to separation, isolation, and a low consciousness. And the lament is on it, and it's grumpy, and it's distant. And you got to wear really tight jeans to sing the songs, you know, to look cool enough. But there's a limit to how tight they can go. You know, I've got tight jeans with me, but I thought, I'm just going to go for these. Comfortable, sensible. Can still have children, you know, that kind of. So, yeah! I make no apologies for the intoxication, because it's because I'm not from here. You know, it says in his presence is fullness of joy. And then people are not happy, so they're not in his presence. Okay. So whatever is going on in God is a flow. Oh, I love this. This is... My friend Dr. Rowe calls the Trinity celebrative constancy. That's a good word. Celebrative constancy. I believe in the celebrative constancy. So Richard Rohr says it's a radical relatedness. When was the last time you heard somebody describe God as a radical relatedness? Would you like to meet the radical relatedness, who's also known as the celebrative constancy? It's a perfect communion. See, we take communion to enter into communion. That's why it's immortal. And it's between three, a circle dance of love. Wow, we got the best God. We have the best dad in the whole world. I'll tell you why I saw the cosmos, because it says delight yourself in the Lord, which means take pleasure in, which means enjoy. Or, to put it another way, get whacked. And he gives you the desires of your heart. That's a fair exchange, right? Get whacked and he gives you stuff. It's awesome. People don't get stuff because they don't get whacked. Because the thing that you enjoy the most is the thing you glorify the most. So he can trust you with his glory to the degree that you enjoy him. That's why David could be trusted with so much glory, and Moses, because they enjoyed him so much. The key to greater glory on your life is greater enjoyment of God. Yum, yum, yum. I've given you such massive keys, but I can tell. I can tell. You're struggling with this. Because is that really how it happens? Yes, yes, yes. You know, when Jesus came with the new covenant, You know, can you imagine his disciples? They had all the mitzvahs and rules and regulations, and Jesus is coming out with a new covenant. This is going to be, the bomb's going to drop now. It's like the new covenant. It's going to be epic. And he gets a bottle of wine. This is it, people. Drink it. Drink it. It's a new covenant. It replaces the book. And you drink it, and when you drink this, you're drinking my blood. Such an awesome new covenant, isn't it? It's like so creepy on one level, but so much fun on the other. I wonder what wine that wine must have been awesome. I'm tasting it right now. Faith is substance, evidence of things unseen. It's okay. I can go back to being grumpy if you want. I'll do that. Just for your sake. Just so I can reach one of you. You know, the gospel is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's whack. It is whack. It is party. And it's that sound. Do you feel the sound on that song? Yeah. When I think about you, Lord, I get so crazy inside. When I think about you, Lord, makes me go crazy inside, and this joy is just too much for me to take. Boom, 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 boom. Yes, I am a Christian. It's okay. It's okay. This joy is just too much for me to take. Oh, yeah. It's like an infection. It's a disease. Joy. You can catch it. Some of you are quite immune to it. Yeah. Yo! Whatever is going on in God is a flow, a radical relatedness. See, this changes everything if we get this, that we're the people of the radical relatedness. There can be no separation. What God has joined together, let no man separate. For separation's just surely an illusion, a construct in your mind. For we live in him and we move in him. I mean, that's why the Buddhists get high when they kind of like doing chi. They breathe in, they do the breathing. Because they channel the breath in. And then they channel it into their feet, all the way through every atom. And they channel it back up. And then out. This is the air I breathe. It's a perfect communion between three, a circle dance of love. God, I love this line, listen, God is absolute friendship. That just changes everything right there. Because if you just keep having this model of him being on the throne, you've missed the gospel. Because as Jesus was like, wherever I am, you are, you're included. I'm sucking you into the full expression of who I am, right in the creamy center of heaven's donut. Yeah. You're in the vanilla custard, right in the middle with me. God is absolute friendship. See, why am I talking about this? Because we're talking about the restoration of all things. And you can't restore all things if you don't understand the nature of Yod Heh Vav Heh. If you don't understand the three in one and its community and love and everything from the very beginning was a flow of inclusion. In the beginning. In Christ. In Him we live. In Him we move. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Seated in Christ. In. For we live in the burning layers of the divine. As one of the saints once said. Well, they actually said, we live immersed in the burning layers. You see all these Christians like, oh God, please, God, you've got to come. You gotta come, God. And the cloud of witnesses are all standing around going, what is wrong with this dude? And the angel's like, I know, I'm with them all the time. It's a nightmare. Please go. Send revival. Start with me. It's too late. It's too late for that. You know, people are looking for open heavens. It's already open. Jesus rent the whole lot, all through all the dimensions. This is great. It's good. I gave a good session today, so don't blame me for it. I blew everybody's mind, so that's fine. So we can get drunk now. You gotta wash it down, right? Just wash it down a little bit. Swallow. Don't forget to swallow. You know, it's nice. Nancy was telling me that she went to one tribe in China or a company in China, and they gave her a chicken's head for a meal as a special guest. And Nancy said, no, I want to honor you by letting you have the chicken's head. And they went, no, we want to honor you by giving you the chicken's head that had beak and eyes and everything. And she was like, no. The Lord is saying I should give you this. And they're like, no. So she ate the chicken head. How long did it take to swallow the beak? She got it stuck in a beak. She got it stuck in a beak, I almost said then. I don't even know what I said about the chicken head. What was I even saying before then? What? Swallow it. Wash it down. At least you're not eating chicken head, all right? That's probably not my point, but I'll make that the point. So you gotta get whacked, right? I came that your joy might be complete. Joy looks like something. It's these little fuzzy wuzzle particles. Fuzzy wuzzle. Fuzzy head. Fuzzy wuzzy glory. It's wisdom's wine. It says she mixes the wine and makes it stronger. She jacks it up to another level. She, you know, if you look at mixed wine, it means she adds opiates, hallucinogens to it, and aphrodisiacs. I'm quoting Arthur Clarke's, you know, commentary on the Bible and saying that I am. She puts mandrakes, opiates in it, and aphrodisiacs. So she takes wine and thinks, could do with a little bit more special. Special wine. So she mixes a wine and prepares a table. So she just sends you, she sends you on a trip. She gets you drunk and gives you a bit of energy. I'm actually preaching Bible. This is good Bible. This is good, this theology. So God is not just the dance, a dancer. God is the dance itself. If we get that we are fully included in the dance, the oneness, that Jesus holds nothing back, that his life is our life. One of my main prayers is this: I'm in you. You're in me. I love you. You love me. I'm in you. You are in me. That when he said, "Our Father," he included us in his relationship. His spirit and papa is now our spirit and daddy. And that's the wonder of the gospel, that we are in Christ. We are in Yod He Vav-He. Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, he is a new being. So how do you function as a new being? By being in union. For in him are hidden all riches. In him are wisdom. In him I live. Not in heaven, in him. I function in heaven. I can have a throne in heaven. But I live in him. Okay. God help us. So he's inviting us to live a beyond human, kainos life, breaking human like limitations like the saints of old. You know, most of the heroes of the faith were really whacked. Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, Joseph of Cupertino, St. Patrick, St. David, yada, yada, yada. They were all ecstatics. We want what they had, but without ecstasy, because religion stole our joy and told us joy was bad. But you know, everything is meant to be joyful. Holding the baby is the dance. Going to the cinema is the dance. Being in the car is the dance. Eating chocolate, how can you not know this? How can you not know that it's a gateway technology into other dimensions when you eat that chocolate? How could you not have discovered this already? That you're meant to eat it and get into that realm where it comes from. The sweetness, the creamy, creamy, sweety, fatty, bum bum goodness of Father God. It says, I will coat my saints with butterfat. That's the ancient roots translation. Coat my saints in butterfat. That you're in this creamy, creamy slip, sliding along. You know what I appreciate, Nancy, with you? I know you've done long fasts and stuff, but you like a, you know, little fried chicken and all. I've seen you work a few into you. You know, that's what Bob Jones was like. You know, Bob Jones and Larry Randolph were together once in IHOP, and Larry Randolph told me this, and they were all fasting and praying. And Larry told me this. He said, "Bob, do you think we should fast and pray with the others?" He went, "Nyeh." They'll get all weak and tired. Well, we'll be fat and happy on the goodness of the Lord. Now, Laura Randolph gave me one of Bob Jones's favourite sweaters. He's in wearing it in lots of photographs. I've got it in my prayer room. I can tell you now, there's a few fried chicken stains on it. A lot of glory on it. A lot of glory. Okay. That wasn't my message, but it was nice. Let's keep going. You guys ready for a little bit more? A little bit more. So I just want to just... I'm not going to go long in this session because we've got two sessions. I keep them shorter. I want to talk again about engaging wisdom. Because even though I talked about wine, I was really talking about wisdom. But I was talking to you in a way that's so easy for you to receive her. Through joy. Through wine. Through intoxication. Because wisdom, you know, Akiana drew this, I think, when she was like 9 years old, didn't she? But when, have you seen the photos of what she's drawn? When she was four, she was caught up into heaven. New Age family, not Christians. So when did she make the decision? When did Paul make the decision? Anyway. It's gone quiet. She got caught up into heaven. She actually physically disappeared. They didn't know where she was. When she came back, she was infused with knowledge on how to do art. And she's a genius painter. She painted this when she was like 9, and it's a picture of herself painting the stars. That's the realm that wisdom wants to bring you into. Because you are not meant to continue with just knowledge. Because knowledge apart from wisdom creates Babylon. Knowledge apart from wisdom creates the Tower of Babel. They had a lot of knowledge. They knew how to do gateway technology into the stars. I mean, scripture says they'll go into the heavens, which is the cosmos, and they'll do it if we don't stop them. So they had a lot of knowledge but not much wisdom, because wisdom couldn't find a place to rest in the days of Enoch. She was caught back up into the heavens. And that's why you see the abuse of so much technology that would have been incredible if we'd continued to walk with wisdom. We forgot how pyramids work. We forgot how light technology works. We forgot anti-gravity. We forgot how rocks are actually technology. Maybe you guys don't want to talk about ancient history. But that was one of the surprises for me, was realizing the story isn't right. Because I believe the church thing about 6,000 years... And then what they taught us in school, that we were cavemen. Do you know Adam was never a caveman.
You, Adam. You, Eve. Come with me, woman. Oh, me, Adam.
He was born knowing the equations of creating energy to produce animals. He was born understanding frequency, energy, vibration, walking with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and walked with the Lord a long, long time. You know, one of the things you find out when you engage these realms was that Adam walked with the Lord a lot longer than it seems from the scriptural account, because that's just talking about his natural years. You know, the evidence on Earth that we can find, bear in mind it's hard to find evidence from long periods of time, is that humans have been here at least 200,000 years. You know, some of the ancient Egyptian kings and Sumerian, they document their kings' lifespans not in years, but in rotations of the solar system, and some of them were 22,000 years old, 24,000 years old. But see, wisdom wants to teach you this. Because we can't really understand where we're going if we don't know where we were. And then if you don't engage wisdom, you'll believe what they tell you about technology. Like you said, the cure to cancer has been released before, and the technology to get rid of oil. You know, one of the things I learned in heaven is that one of the greatest crimes in human history is the oil industry. Way worse than Hitler. Because they've stopped a whole continent of Africa and India getting unlimited energy. And this existed. Everybody's still with me, or yeah. Because I didn't realize that engage in heaven or engage in the bliss, because Rachel will tell you this, I was drunk in the spirit for many years, wasn't I, honey? And then because I forgot that God gave you ecstasies and raptures, because I was learning the secret of being in the sweet prayer of silence, also called the prayer of affection. So I tried to pray, but I was too whacked. And if I tried, it felt like I was violating the intimacy. Do you know what I mean? It's like the glory was lifting off it if I tried to pray. So I just lie there and enjoy him. And I thought, is this okay, God? I even asked him, I said to Rachel at one point, have I got a disease? Where you just want to lie down all the time feeling amazing. And you can't be bothered doing stuff anymore. And that went on for years. And then he started taking me into ecstasies and raptures and expanded states. See, I know there's a value on stepping in. We can all activate it. I've done it. I'm going to activate it next week when I'm in South Africa. But if people learned that they could just enjoy God, they'd get a lot more and a lot faster too. So God started to show me things about time and space, and even like how time worked. I've got a teaching on time miracles, and we've had tons of time miracles, haven't we, Rach? Crazy, crazy time miracles. I physically traveled back in time 1 hour and relived an hour twice. But the thing I did in the original hour, which is prepare some presentation slides and go to the toilet, still remained there. And the clock went back a whole hour. And I've got another hour, but I don't need the toilet. And my slides are on the computer. And my body was vibrating. It was a shock. What I found was, what he did was, say times like that, he just added a loop in it. So in the loop, I did the slides. And in the loop, I went to toilet. So I've actually been to toilet in another dimension in space and time. I went to the meeting an hour early because of the time shift. I was shocked when I discovered it because I had 1 hour and I had looked at 3 clocks. But when I went out of my room, time shifted and my body was vibrating for 2 hours. And I was at the meeting half an hour before I went to toilet at 6 o'clock. And there was a clock there. I was vibrating. I was going, I don't get it, Lord. It's 5:30, but at 6, I was in the toilet in the hotel. Where's my toilet gone? And I got that from being in the spirit when the Lord took me. One time I was doing the courtroom, and it shocked me because I was doing a courtroom ascension, and Jesus stood up and said, I don't want to do the courtroom today. And I was like, he's never done that before. He grabbed me and said, let's go for a walk. And he took me out of the courtroom into these cherry blossoms with a stream going through the middle. And it was beautiful, blossom after blossom. And it opened up into a big lake. And it was actually the lake of time. And he took me to the edge of time. And we walked along the edges. And across the other side was Enoch looking at the edges of time. And he waved to me from the other side. And I was like, there's Enoch. And Jesus said he loves walking along among the edges of time. And he looks at time to see if it's the fullness of time. And then the strangest thing happened. Jesus looked at me and said, I want to baptize you. He took me in the water. I can still remember it now. I saw Jesus' face through the water. It was like liquid, but it had like shimmer in it of gold. He baptized me in time. I know it sounds crazy, right? And after that, I started to understand time miracles. I called it rich time, non-time, poor time, weak time. And now I saw all these classifications of time, and we started to have time miracles. The first one was when I was cleaning the car, and I finished it so quickly. I came in the house. Rachel said, you couldn't have cleaned both cars already. And then I realized two things were strange. One, I did it really quick, impossibly quick. And secondly, I hadn't used up any energy. Because I was freed from time's decay pattern, where it says everything done under the sun is toil. And I'd come out from under the sun into the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, above the power of the sun, where all of it yields its fruit. And since then, we've had many time miracles, and then I found it was connected to transportation because it's the space-time continuum. The teleportation's in it. But all of this I learned by engaging these realms of wisdom. See, there has to be a generation that go up and are taught by the Lord. There has to be a generation. It was great, everything you're listening to right now, but if your life stays the same and you don't start to go up, you've been hearing but not perceiving. You've missed it. You've missed it because when you're in the shower next, you could go up. The shower's a great place to go up into heaven. You've got nothing else to do. You're enjoying yourself. It's beautiful. You've been rained down on. You're in the bliss. That's a perfect time to go into that dimension. I used to do it in the sauna a lot, but I was afraid that if I went into too strong a trance, I would be in there longer than 20 minutes. That was the maximum you could be. So because I was afraid of that, I did a court case with the Lord where I said, if I go into a trance in the sauna, you'll wake me up and bring me round so I can leave the sauna in enough time. And that's what I started to do, started to have these trances. So I got baptized in the lake of time when I was in the sauna in the natural. So don't say you haven't got time. You have more than enough time to engage these realms. It's the way you think. You can engage God at any time, at any moment. I love Ian Clayton because he says when he opens the door, he goes, I'm in. When he opens the curtains, it's open. And he engages repeatedly, triggering. He calls it triggers until you're in. And you remain in. First you're stepping in, stepping out, stepping in. And then like Nancy, part of you becomes permanently ascended. And then it quickens your mortal body. And it brings you life and energy from another realm. Whew. This is good. I know you guys are tired and hot. So I just want to talk a little bit now about the walking in the seven spirits. So I've been teaching on perichoresis, the stance. And I was in Germany with you guys, actually. And in the worship, Jesus spoke to me and said, walk among the lampstands. And he said it three times. So while the worship was going on, I went up into the lampstands and I was in Jesus walking in these colors and they were sticking to my skin, the flames. And I was in this dance and I saw that he was dancing. And he wasn't doing what I thought. He was moving. The Father was huge like that, overshadowing the Holy Spirit as the seven spirits. And Jesus was moving in the dance, and I was in Revelation where it says, greetings to you from him who was and is to come, and the seven spirits before his throne, and Jesus Christ, the King and rulers of the kings of the world. And I was in them as they dance within themselves in the realm of sonship, where the Father overshadows and the Holy Spirit quickens these different dimensions. And Jesus, as the man, as the divine man, is dancing and I'm in him. And I was caught up in the dance for about an hour and a half. And then I came out of it and I looked up the root word. And again, it was peri. So it was the dance, the circle. Pateo, which means the dance that tramples. So pateo is always the word where you totally crush your enemy. So I was in the bliss dance in him for an hour and a half in the seven, moving in and out of the lamps and the colors. And I was in the dance that tramples over the enemy. So God started to speak to me about the seven spirits and how essential they are to where we're going next in creation. That wisdom, it says she builds a house with seven pillars, and God wants to frame up over you a realm of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Yes, you can have it. You already have it. Every promise is yes and amen, but it's about relational engagement. See, when you dance with someone, it's very relational. When you dance with someone, taste and see. Touch, taste. And I was in the flames of the seven spirits, dancing in the dance that tramples, and it becomes a living DNA around you, like the coat of many colors. And it begins to envelop you and engage your DNA, and it starts to wrap into you. See, this is another heavenly place that you're seated in. You could go up to wisdom. You could go into the courtroom, and you could be in all of these places at once, because Jesus is in all of these places at once. And as he is, so are you. And you begin to exist in the lampstands, in the dance of the lampstands. So I went to Seattle and I was doing a conference there on Kavah, which is entangling in God. It's the word for entangle. And what I didn't tell people was they did a lineup for prayer, which I don't normally do. As I was moving around them, I was in the dance, but I didn't tell anyone where I was. I'd been there all night, even when I was preaching. I'd let myself go into the heavens and carried on talking. So I was in the dance, enjoying the lampstands. And this amazing thing happened. There was a girl there. She was probably about 20 years of age. She came up to me with her mum crying. And she said, I saw you. And she was crying. She said, I saw your face blur and your face disappeared. And it was rainbow colors when you hugged that person. So she saw in the physical realm manifesting from the seven spirits. It actually manifested on my body. The rainbow colors of the sacred dance. Because this is the mystery. A rainbow looks like a bow, but it's actually a circle. So the rainbow is one, and there are seven colors whatever in the rainbow, but how many colors are in the rainbow? Does anybody know? Who said seven? There's seven primary colors. It is actually, I don't know how many there are in there. Probably billions. But it's a symbol that in the seven, it's one rainbow. We're in one, but many in one. It's the circle around the throne. It's a circle. It's a dance. And Jesus is in the seven, and the seven look separate, but the seven are actually, as you blur into it and you start to entangle in it, it envelops you very much like this picture where you're caught up in the seven spirits of God. And what you realize is if you touch one part of the lamp, you're touching it all. That even though they can have separate personalities, separate functions, that when you're touching the lamp, when you're in the lampstand, when you're in the colors, you're engaging the fullness and the fatness of the supply of his unlimited nature. And you're sitting in love. You're sitting in bliss. You're sitting in the kiss. You're in the wine. And from here, we function as sons because this is where Jesus went. This is how Jesus functioned. Because what you do there will start to manifest here. Jesus had the seven spirits rest on him as a dove because he had the dance in the spirit that allowed them to rest. And he looked like this. Seven eyes and seven horns, but it rests on what? The lamb nature. Meekness, kindness, gentleness, and humility. What do eyes represent? Illumination, sight. What do the horns represent? Strength. You have anointed my horns like that of a wild ox. Where he starts to bring illumination, and you start to see as you should see, not just in a small thing like a seer gift. But you start to see through the dimensional framework of the seven spirits and you start to look like Jesus where you're seen in multiple dimensions at once. And that's what starts to happen to me and I know Nancy, is that you start to see here but you're seeing there at the same time. Or you're seeing over there, you're seeing in time and space and it's all breaking open. And it sounds complicated but it's not. It's in union, it's in love, it's intoxication, it's in oneness. You know, Catherine of Siena was thought to be such a fool, but she could stop wars, and popes would come and talk to her. Joseph of Cupertino, they called him the gaper because he was so whacked, and he would walk around going like that, and they thought he was so whacked out of his brain, but he had such wisdom that thousands would gather to touch him and receive wisdom from him. And, you know, Paul said this, if we look like fools, as some may say, it's for God's glory. That there's a realm where you look like a fool, but you're not. You're starting to possess the seven spirits. You're starting to move in the seven spirits. You're starting to look different, sound different, illuminated on the lamb nature, on the blissful, sweet, juicy lamb. So Jesus is the lamb having seven eyes and seven horns. And we're being co-revealed in him in the same bliss. The word for this is, I have seen the Spirit come out as a dove out of heaven and it remained on him. That word remain is this, meno. It means to be held continually, not to become another. See, if we keep having separation theology, we're separating from what Jesus did. It says he did meno with the Holy Spirit, which means I never want to be another. And he chose to bind himself continually into that spirit. And that's my life goal. My life goal is to remain in the whack, remain in the wine, remain in the pleasure like Nancy does, where she takes communion every day. She does the bubble up. She sticks the sheet over her head. And God's presence bubbles up and it recharges her body. You know, if you look at all the people I know that really move in God, let's just be honest about this now. Let's just break through something here. Is everyone I know is it thoroughly addicted to God? Dr. Rowe, when he was a kid selling tea towels in the market at 7, he used to go back to his room and it had just a concrete floor, no furniture. He would pray all night and wake up levitating. You know, one day he went for a walk and decided when he was 10, he decided I'm going to go for a walk and see what's outside the city. He walked for 2 years. And a man, an angel, walked with him the whole time and looked after him. He walked through 2 countries. And this black man that was an angel stayed with him the whole time. See, you know, you look at Ian Clayton and the level of addiction that he's got to God's presence. He's single-hearted. Nancy, it's like we've got to get a taste for it. We've got to get addicted to the wine. We've got to let the wine possess us and so occupy our thoughts that every day you've got to be whacked. Where you say, I can't live another day without whack. I've got to be perma-whacked. Permanently whacked. Perma-whack. Perma-whack. Because you've got a choice when you leave here. And the choice is, do you turn in and choose the whack and wine and wisdom's wine? Or do you live a life of separation where you say, oh, I'm still pressing in? Which is just a faith in the inferior. Because you're already in. Okay. So the 7 lamps and wisdom now is calling. Wisdom is calling to enlighten your mind. And the name in Greek is Sophia, which means clarity. I'm telling you now, the spirit of clarity is coming upon this generation. We're not going to be fuzzy-headed anymore. You think this wine makes you fuzzy-headed? It doesn't make you fuzzy-headed. It's the wine of love that illuminates you and gives you a realm of understanding and wisdom that is beyond your wildest dreams. And it brings clarity of thought. You know, Nancy talks to presidents, kings, all these kind of people because she lives in the wine cellar. She's locked into the wine cellar. We're locked into the wine cellar and God threw away the key. I'm just going to walk beyond the boundary of the known. Just for a second. I was very gentle. We've got to get, see, we shouldn't even be surprised by this, right? There's such a lack of anointing in the body of Christ right now. We've been taught well past the point of obedience. Quoting Bobby Connor. We need the substance. The substance is there. We just can't educate you into it. can teach you to drink, but you'll have to drink it. I love these guys. We started stuff together. We've done stuff in Bath, Rising Higher. And the energy and faith that these guys carry, because they're new creations. They didn't even think about their age, nothing, because they're ageless. Yeah. I'm not going to do anything, honey. It's okay. We get whacked a lot. We know how to get whacked. I'm just actually letting God touch you. Don't be afraid. Just let heaven touch you. You know, oh, yay. It's okay, you know? Oh. How's it going? Yeah, good. Doing all right? Doing all right? You want to walk with Enoch? Because he wants to walk with you. Ain't that the truth, right? Oh, there's a hee-hee, a little hee-hee. Yeah. I'm just, you know, stretching a little bit. Stretching. It's okay. I know you're South African, so it's okay. I've been to South Africa. My condolences. I'm joking. It's okay. Yes, it's a British joke. I love South Africa. Enoch did a lot of stuff in South Africa in ancient times. That's where Adam's calendar is, one of the most advanced old archaeological sites in the world. There's a pyramid buried there. You know, it still sends particles into space. Adam's calendar. Oldest bit of technology on the earth. Some stones that send a signal up into space. You can't even get a GPS read in there. That's it. So you love knowledge. That's great. Thank you, Father. Lord, open up the realm of wisdom and understanding. Knowledge, understanding, not just time and seasons, but times and seasons. And that's times and seasons for everything in different dimensions. Because everything's working on different time, because time and space is relative. It's relative to where you are, right? Understanding it. Because how can you restore all things if you don't know wisdom? And you haven't superseded time and been under the tyranny of time and the temporary. And you've learned to have your own realm. You've got to stop thinking, I'm the anointed one. No, you're called a Christian, which means you're the anointed Christ ones. You've got a realm. We're all anointed. But it comes from enjoyment, and then it begins to flood and push out. And you just enjoy him. I'm going to carry on teaching in a minute. Don't worry, we'll have a little break. I think we've got one last session tonight, have we? We're going to entangle into life. I'm going to teach you about energy. But let's finish the session a minute. Yeah. Oh,
It's okay, you okay? Remember, you know,
it's play.
Play.
Yeah.
It's just play, right? Right?
Face. You went into a trance, didn't you? Your friends had never seen you go into trance before. In Virginia. I got a really whack kid that was very country, had a country accent, and he said, I've got a question for you.
I've been drinking a whole bottle of wine.
I'm starting to feel quite drunk. My question is, do you think I should drink a second bottle? I got so whacked, I prayed for her, she went into a trance. It triggered me. Okay, let's land this. Wisdom. The reason technology is expanding right now is because wisdom is being poured out like rain. And it was a prophecy that Enoch gave back in the beginning. He said, in my generation, wisdom was locked up in the heavens because she could not find someone to rest with. And they had all the knowledge but no wisdom, and they messed it up. God had to put separate languages, split the tribes up, get rid of Babylonian technology, portal technology, energy technology, shut down the consciousness because there's no wisdom. Knowledge puffs up. And they departed from wisdom. So a whole generation went into judgment and technology was forgotten. Anti-gravity technology, stone technology, global communication networks, all of it buried under the sands of time. But Enoch said this, there would be a company of people who would begin to go up into heaven and drink from the wells of wisdom. And they would become the wise ones. They would become illuminated. And then he said, and then I saw wisdom would be poured out like rain. We are in the outpouring of wisdom. That's why technology's booming. New ideas are booming. People are protesting. People starting to care again. Stuff's accelerating because wisdom's poured out like rain. But God wants a company that don't just come under an outpouring. They are the outpouring. They are the ones that carry the spirit of wisdom. And wisdom's become one with them. And they know wisdom. They walk with wisdom. They've been with wisdom. And wisdom begins to be formed with knowledge and fear and understanding and counsel and might. And starts to form a new genetic house with them. Multicolored, where they walk among the lampstands. Where they engage there. And part of them fractures off into that dance forever. The part of their heart is always dancing with the seven. And it says this in scripture, I'm calling to you, sons of Adam. Yes, and to you, daughters as well. Listen to me and you will be wise and prudent. And my words will release within you revelation for you to reign in life. My lyrics will empower you to live by what is right. And my words will never lead you astray. And all the declarations of my mouth can be trusted. If you have an open mind, you will receive revelation knowledge. My wise correction is more valuable than silver or gold. The finest gold is nothing compared to the revelation knowledge I can impart. Oh, wisdom. So happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than profits of silver and her gain more than fine gold. For she is more precious than rubies and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who retain her. For she calls out, she beckons for us to drink the substance, and she's prepared her food, slaughtered her meat, and prepared, mixed her wine, and she set her table, and she sent out the servant girls, the handmaidens, and she calls out from the highest place, come. Come and eat. Come and drink. Come and feast at the table of wisdom. And I will give you long life. Long life is in her right hand. Riches and honor are in her left hand. And she will give you quick understanding and revelation. Some of my teachings I had in a moment, literally like Nancy says, a twinkling of an eye. A twinkling of an eye is the future for you. Because what we do with technology is just a shadow of what God's doing now in the spirit. The only reason people are getting downloads off Google and downloads off the internet is because there's a realm opening up right now of infused knowledge. Mark my words, you'll hear that I'm preaching in one place and I'm preaching in the other at the same time. It's going to happen and it's going to be seen. A friend of mine, Jim Drown, was preaching in a crusade kind of situation in South America. And there was a woman he felt compassion for. He came out of his body while he was teaching and prayed for her. When they took a photograph, he's in the crowd and preaching. And he started doing things called dream invasions, where he said, I stay up in the night and go into terrorist dreams and preach the gospel to them. Don't give them any rest. So she says to those who are uneducated, naive, immature, come in and turn in. Here, you foolish people, come and eat and drink my wine, for I've got it for you. And I, wisdom, love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. And she's calling a generation into the sweetness of her wine and the sweetness of her bliss. That whatever we're doing next, whether it's in cosmic places, heavenly places, we are not alone. And we could never be alone. And she wants to give wisdom on wealth management into this room right now. Right now. Because poverty is not part of the restoration of all things. Riches. We got to get off the track of decay. We got to get off the track of lack. I tell you what, there's an unlimited supply in heaven. Rachel and I are tapping into it more and more, aren't we, honey? We've discovered a realm. There's a realm of knowledge in you. A realm of understanding in you. Lord, thank you for wisdom. Thank you for wisdom. We're going to do an entanglement now into wisdom. And I know this has not been eloquent, but I've been working hard this afternoon. So I'm just a little whacked. But I don't mind being a bit whacked, because for me, that's how I get energized. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. I want to live in perpetual motion. Okay. Can you put this on your... I don't know if this is going to work with my thing. It might not work. It's not coming through properly. I don't think it might work on this. What we're going to do, we're going to do an entanglement, and I'll put a song on here instead. So let's just stand up for a minute. Thank you for being patient tonight. I love you guys. We're just going to entangle. Yeah! Into wisdom. Have a break. Get refreshed after we do this. But I really want you to engage with it with everything in you, okay? I want you to... Oh, I can't even do it on here. I want you to engage with me. Well, this will do. We're going to entangle into wisdom. I want you to engage this with body, soul, and spirit as if this is so important to you today. Because it is important to you. That there's a realm of wisdom that's been reserved for you. It says he stores up wisdom for you. Honestly, I believe this generation is going to be like no other generation. It's time for there to be a company that rise together, the congregation, who rise up in wisdom and understanding, in the spirit of counsel, in the spirit of might. Okay, we'll turn the music down a wee bit. Spirit of wisdom. Say it with me. Spirit of wisdom. We thirst for you. Show us the sacred dance. Sing over us your life-giving song. Awaken us as the children of the dawn. Clothe us with dazzling starlight. Infuse us with the richness of your understanding. Saturate us with the wealth of your knowledge. Overcome us with inexpressible joy and delight. Take us deeper still into the treasure house. Wisdom, we drink your intoxicating wine. We eat at the table of bliss. We join the love feast. Wisdom. We entangle into you. Body, soul, and spirit. The colors, the frequency, the symphony. We become one with you. Yod He Vav He, the sevenfold spirit, the eyes, the flame, you in us, and us in them. We are home in your hearts. You are home in our hearts. We are one. Forever and ever. Amen. Turn it up for a bit. Just weave it. Just enjoy it, the swirl. Thank you, Father. If you find it hard to engage, I use music like that. And when I was in the season of praying, I took 3 months off work, didn't I, honey? I would have that on repeat for 5 hours straight. And it was really nice. I know it's been a long day. It feels like, should we not do more or should we have a break? We're going to have a break, but do you want one last session on engaging life and immortality? It is one of the graces on my life. I do have a lot of energy miracles, and probably you need energy right now after this conference. I got to give you guys credit. You guys are like long distance runners. You guys are the most extreme conference crowd I've ever been with.